Thank you. What a blessing. Turn your Bibles tonight to the Gospel of Luke, the 12th chapter. Gospel of Luke, the 12th chapter. And while you're turning to that, let me just mention about a word about the pictures tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, I'll show you some of the implements that have already been made that are going to be used in the temple. Then from there, we'll be going to Bethlehem. And from Bethlehem, I'll go to those great, wonderful places, of course, that are spoken of in the Word of God. We'll go back to the upper room, and from the upper room, we'll be going to the Garden of Gethsemane, and then to the house of Caiaphas, and then to Pilate's judgment hall, and then on to Calvary, and then to the garden tomb, then go to the top of the Mount of Olives. And I'll tell you why that gate remains closed tomorrow night. The scripture that I believe applies to it, and it will be opened someday. And I trust you'll use the pictures as you invite your friends and neighbors out. There is a DVD back on the book table in the back, 2 hours long, of the pictures I've been showing this week, and a lot more detail, because on that DVD, we go to Egypt as well. And we trust that you'll take time to look at that. Well, what a blessing to be here on Tuesday night. Are you glad you're here tonight? Amen. All right, we got about five people that are happy. I trust you're glad that you're here. And we rejoice in the Lord. You know, as I usually don't tell stories from the pulpit whatsoever, other than during the preaching. But I think tonight of a brother that's here tonight, and that's Rich Schulte. Whenever I go, wherever I go, he comes to hear me preach. He's a dear, faithful prayer warrior, faithful friend. But I was thinking, as I was sitting here, about a preacher. Whenever he traveled and wherever he traveled, there was always somebody there. Someone that was there. And so he had to go away up in the mountains and preach. As he was up in the mountains in the church, and very few people were showing up whatsoever, and it was a bad storm and a terrible night, and just before the service started, in walked this brother. And finally, the preacher couldn't take it any longer. He said, "How come wherever I go, you're there, you're there?" And that man looked at the preacher and said this. He said, "I understand that every preacher has one good message, and I want to be present when he preaches it." And I suppose that may be true. But what a blessing to preach the wonderful Word of God and share with you the great truth that's found in the Bible. Luke chapter 12 now. If you have your Bible, I want to start reading with verse number 15, and I read several verses thereafter. Luke chapter 12, begin with verse 15. "And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought with himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do, I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, what a great, great blessing to be here tonight. Thankful for the congregational singing. Thankful for the special number, the special music. Every part of it has just been so great. And it lifts up our wonderful, wonderful Savior. And we've come here tonight to hear from heaven. We've come here tonight that you might speak to us and challenge us from the wonderful Word of God. And I pray tonight you'll do just that. May each one here have ears to hear and hearts to understand. And Lord, if there is someone here tonight that's not sure they're saved, would you show them tonight that you love them, that Jesus died on that cross of Calvary and shed his precious blood and was buried and arose again, that they might be saved, that they might be born again. Then I pray for Christians here. Lord, we as Christians need to know what's important in our life and what is not important in our life. So speak to us tonight, and we'll praise you and love you. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I believe most of us face a problem in our life, and that problem is knowing what is important and what's not important. And I suppose every day you make some kind of a decision and determine what you think is important and what you think is not important. The Bible says in Matthew 6 and verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added." So if we put Him first, then everything else is going to fall in place. But that verse is contrary to human thinking. Because what we want to do, we want to take care of everything that we think are important. And if we have any strength left, if we have any time left, then we come to the Lord. It's just the opposite of what's taught in the Word of God. But listen, dear friend, and I say it kindly, the day is coming when somebody else is going to be driving your car. The day is coming when somebody else is going to be living in your house. The day is coming when somebody else is going to be wearing your clothes. You're not going to be around. You're going to be gone. And so that's why it's so important that we have our priorities in the right place and we know what's right and what's wrong. I was reading today an article by William Knox, and it's interesting. It goes this way. Oh, why should the spirit of mortal be proud, like a swift fleeting meteor, a flash flying cloud, a flash of the lightning, a break of the wave, man passes from life to his rest in the grave. The leaves of the oak and the willow shall fade, be settled around and together be laid, and the young and the old, and the low and the high, shall smolder to dust and together shall die. But dying is more than filling a grave. With a friendly last wave, the soul from its clod house is loosed and set free to face all alone God and eternity. That's sobering. But it's true. It's true. That's why it's so important that we have our priorities in the right place. Now, I think of the scripture that I've read tonight. And I want to stay pretty close to this scripture in the message tonight. In fact, a couple of verses I'm going to use as an outline. But as we look at this scripture, we find here was a man that was blessed. Here was a man that was prosperous. Here was a man whose ground brought forth plentifully. And he thought, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? He said, I'll tear down my barns and I'll build greater. And I'll bestow all my fruits and my goods in those barns that I built. Then he simply said to his soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. And the attitude of this individual presented with the Lord was to store up and store up and store up and save up and save up. And then when you reach a certain age, a certain time, then you're going to take it easy. You're going to eat, drink, and be merry, and just spend the rest of your life that way. But it's interesting, as you look at this truth, the Bible says there's a God. And this man, evidently, in this account, had forgotten about God. Because in verse number 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall require of thee. Now, that word fool in the scripture means thou unwise one. You see, a person is not very smart if he simply lives for the here and now. If he's simply storing up for here and now. Not very smart. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Now, as I look at those words, this night, what does that mean? That means eternity. That means when death knocks at the door, that person passes from this life to that and leaves everything behind, and steps across that threshold out there in eternity. And when death comes, everybody is going to live forever. The saved will live forever in heaven. The unsaved will live forever in a place of eternal damnation in hell. But everybody is going to live forever. Someplace and somewhere. I was thinking of invited back to a church where I used to pastor. And there was a man in that church. His dear wife and children came to the services. They all got saved, gloriously saved and so on. But this man had absolutely no time for the preacher. He had no time for the church whatsoever. And so I'd go and call on him. And when I would call on this man, I mean, he was filthy on the outside. His trousers he could take off and stack and lean them in the corner. He was a type of man that said the dirtier are, the warmer they are, because the wind does not blow through them. He was filthy inside. And I would go and talk to him, and he would get very angry with me. He'd begin to cuss and swear and call me everything under the sun. And here's what I did. As he cussed and swore at me and called me everything, I'd put my hand on his shoulder and say, "You know something, sir? God still loves you. God still loves you." So I was invited back to that church. And I said to the pastor, "I want to see that man." And so we drove out to where he lived. The garage door was open, and he was in the garage. And outwardly, he hadn't changed any. He looked the same. And I got out of the car and hurriedly got up and introduced myself and shook his hand. He said, "Rev, I've been looking for you." He knew if I was in town, I'd look him up. And I said, "Sir, how's it going? How's it going?" And the first time I noticed tears well up in his eyes, and he said, "I'm all alone." He said, "My wife died last year, and my children are all gone." I said, "Sir, you had a wonderful wife." She said, "Heaven." And I said, "Sir, have you made any preparation?" And he wiped the tear from his eyes and said, "Yes, I have." I said, "Tell me about it." He said, "I've been to the city." He said, "I've got the vault picked out. I've got the coffin picked out." He said, "You remember, just beyond the city here, there's a cemetery." He said, "I've got the plot there. It's all paid for." And he said, "When death knocks at my door, I'll be as dead as a dog." I said, "Sir, you know that's not true." And there outside his garage, I presented to him the message of the gospel, that when the night comes, we're either in heaven or in hell. Oh, dear friend, how important. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Death is going to knock on the door. And if the pastor invites me to come back to this church, I'm going to look out over this auditorium, and some of you folk aren't going to be here. I'm not talking about moving. I'm not talking about getting upset with your preacher. I'm talking about death is going to knock at your door. The night's going to come. That's why it's important that we have our priorities in the right place. And the Bible says in Amos 4 and verse 12, prepare to meet thy God. The Bible says in Hebrews 10 verse 31, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God without preparation. The night's going to come. So God said to this man, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." Now look at that phrase. "Thy soul shall be required of thee." And I hear people say, "Preacher, I'm accountable to nobody. I can do as I please. I can live as I want. I don't have to." And I stop them and say, "Listen, the very breath that you have in your lungs, the very fact that your heart is beating, is a gift of God." But they've forgotten the requirement of the soul. And just briefly tonight, I take you to several places where I think we've forgotten. First of all, the place of business. The Bible says in Mark chapter 8, 36 and 37, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" What profit is that? What gain is that? In Luke chapter 12, verse 15, God says, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the things which he possesseth." But we think you've got to possess something or you don't amount to a thing. People today work and work, and men work and wives work, and there's times when both have to work in order to keep things going. But listen, in America, people are bowing at the shrine of the almighty dollar. No time for God. No time to go to church. No time for spiritual things in the place of business. Oh, think about it. I was in Mexico working with the missionaries in Mexico, and down at Acapulco, and down there, we went out to what was called the Prince's Hotel. Beautiful, beautiful, three 18-hole golf courses there. And the Prince's Hotel is shaped like a pyramid. We drove up in front, and a man opened the door for us and welcomed us. They thought we were going to stay there. I said, "Listen, we're not going to stay here. We're not going to stay here. I just want to see the place." And I walked up and went inside that pyramid, shaped building. And as I got inside that building, I began to count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 13. And I stopped with the 13th floor. And here's what I said. Howard Hughes, you'll never again stay in the 13th floor of the Prince Hotel. He had the entire hotel, 13th floor, reserved for him. But his night's come. He's dead. He's dead. You see, dear friend, we put great emphasis on things, on things, on things. But God said, thou fool, this night thy soul's required of thee. And we need to forget and not forget. We need to be reminded of the truth as presented in the truth. Then I take you tonight to the place of pleasure. Oh, pleasure, eat, drink, and be merry. 1 John 2 and verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And the Bible says the pleasures of sin are for a season, are for a season. And all the loose living today, the drinking, the dancing, the smoking, the illicit sex, the drugs, the card playing, the movies, all of the things that people are so involved in today, in the pleasure. But they've forgotten the requirement. God's going to require something of the soul. That's coming. That's coming. Oh, listen, I think of a young man. A young man that out on Saturday night racing down Main Street, as young people still do. Racing down Main Street. And the police, of course, were having lunch someplace or having a break. And so they calculated that so they could race down Main Street. Race down Main Street. One night as they were racing down Main Street, they came across the bridge. As they came across the bridge, they lost control of the car and smashed that car into the side of that bridge. That young man, the next day, took his friends down to the junkyard or whatnot and showed them. He said, we were in that car. We were in that car racing Main Street. We were there and hooting and hollering and having a good time. But that young man forgot something. He forgot about God. And the next couple of weeks he was in Canada fishing with his friends, had on hip boots, his boat tipped over, boats filled up with water. And I got a call from Canada asking if I knew a young man. And I said, yes, I know him. He just smashed into the bridge. But it was all over. He forgot about God. You see, dear friend, that's what God is talking about. The requirement of the soul in business. The requirement of the soul in the place of pleasure. And then, let me go to your home tonight. The home. That's where individuals live. And the Bible simply says in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2, men shall be lovers of their own selves more than lovers of God. And in the home today, children are raised without Sunday school and church. God is not honored. Christ is not worshipped. The Bible is not read. There's no prayer in the home. There's criticism of the church. The television set has become the center of most homes. And wickedness is piped right into the room. It's terrible. We've forgotten in the home the truth, the requirement of the soul. Oh, I gave you a little bit of testimony. I worked for an alcoholic. I got saved while working for that alcoholic and that drunkard and the wickedness we went through. But while I worked there, after I got saved, I prayed and prayed and prayed, oh God, isn't there some home, isn't there some farm I can work on of Christian people? God answered my prayer. A dear, dear couple by the name of Leslie and Agnes Lee got a hold of me and said, we don't have much. We only have an 80-acre farm, but you can come and work for us. You can work for a board and room here. And if you like it, you can call us mom and dad, and we'll be glad to call you our son. I started to work on that farm. Oh, but listen, that home. Oh, after we did the chores in the morning and came in and sat around an old-fashioned breakfast table, pancakes, sausage, bacon. You used to take the grease from the sausage and the bacon and put on the pancakes. And eggs and hash browns and all that good stuff around that table. And after we enjoyed that delicious breakfast, Mom said, "Dad, would you get the Bible?" He got up from that Bible, that table, and went and got the Bible. And every day, read the Bible and prayed. They prayed for me. They prayed for the pastor. They prayed for the neighbors. They prayed for missionaries. Every day, they prayed. Great, great influence had on my life. When Sunday came, Dad said to me, "This is the Lord's day. We only do the necessary chores." Didn't make any difference, spring or fall. Didn't make any difference whether out in the field planting the crops. Didn't make any difference whether harvesting. He said, "This is the Lord's day." Amen. We were in Sunday school and in church every Sunday. We were there every Sunday night. When special meetings came to our church, didn't make any difference. We were there in the service for every service. The Lord was first in that home. How about your home? Have you forgotten the requirement of the soul? I say to you dads that are here tonight, have you forgotten your responsibility as a father? If you're a dad, God expects you every day to read the Bible and have prayer with that dear wife and your children. Oh, you can put it off and say, no, don't put it off. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. And dear friend, we need to accept that responsibility once again, because God is going to require of every father that responsibility that's yours, and you need to do something about it. The requirement of the soul. And then I think of the churches tonight. Thank God for this church. But there are so many churches today that don't even believe the Bible is the Word of God. I think of a church where the preacher began with a nursery rhyme and ended with Mickey Mouse theme song. And at the end, people got a hold of it and said, "Preacher, that was wonderful." Nothing wonderful about that. That's tragic. Churches where there's no preaching on sin, there's no preaching on hell or judgment, there's no obedience, there's no repentance, there's no tithing, there's no surrender, there's no invitation whatsoever. And God says in Revelation 18, 4 and 5, "Come out of her, my people, lest ye be partaker with her sins." God said to this man, "Thou fool, this night your soul is going to be required." The last thing I want you to see, he said, "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." How can I be rich toward God? And I'm so concerned about being rich toward God. Oh, dear friend today, want to be rich toward God. Oh, listen, I think of being in São Paulo, Brazil, and the missionary took me out to the Church of the Black Virgin. Beautiful, beautiful cathedral built there. And I said, "Tell me the story." He said, "So fishermen were out fishing, and a man caught on his line an 18-inch black doll. And supposedly they had some visions. And the vision was, if anyone would come and pray to that black doll, their prayer would be answered. And so they built a beautiful, beautiful building there. And I went into that building, walked along the side of it because people were praying in that building. And I walked up on the altar as I'm standing here tonight. And they had a box about this square. And yeah, and inside that box was this black doll, a beautiful garment on, a halo on its head. I stood there and looked at it. The doors in the back began to open and then shut. And finally, a man managed to get through that door that was paralyzed from his arms down. And he got through the door and he pulled himself up that aisle, and he came up the aisle there in that church, came up to the altar, and as he came up to the altar, he flung over, reached in his pocket, got some beads, and then he began to pray, and he began to weep and pray and weep. You know what I did? I stood there and prayed and wept with him. He was hoping somehow to find forgiveness. And after a few minutes of that, he put the beads back in his pocket and turned and dragged himself out. Is that how to be rich toward God? 1,000 times no. Oh, what a picture. That'll move your heart and move your life. The Bible says in Proverbs 14, verse 12, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. How can I be rich toward God? Listen carefully in 2 Corinthians 8, and verse 9. For ye know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said in John 10 and verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2 and verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unrighteous, by whose stripes we're healed. That's how to be rich. Oh, listen, here's a man that tried and tried, but he forgot God. He forgot God, and God requires something of his soul. And the Bible says if we're going to be rich toward God, we've got to do it God's way. Repent of our sin. Turn to him, accept him, and be born again by the Spirit of God. Then if we are saved, we ought to be rich in service, as spoken of in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I think tonight of a dear man by the name of Roger. I was in a church Sunday morning service, sitting on the platform, and the pastor said to me, we've got special people here today. I looked in the back on the right side, and there was 37 mentally retarded folk that had come out that morning to hear me preach. Oh, they're special. I pastored for years in a city that has the largest denominational home for the mentally retarded in the world. And I saw them back there. And so I preached from the Word of God, and with heads bowed and eyes closed, I said, if you're here this morning, you're not sure you're saved, would you let me pray for you? And hands went up. And I looked back in that group, and a hand went up just this fast. His name was Roger. When I gave him attention, several came down that aisle, and Roger came down that aisle and got a hold of the preacher's hand, and his tongue was thick. He could not speak like we can talk. And he tried with such gestures, just twisted up his face and said, I, and couldn't get it out. Finally took his face and began to beat his chest. He said, preacher, I've come forward to get saved. They went into a side room. Roger got on his knees with the person working, received the Lord. When the service was over, everybody had been dismissed from the auditorium, and Roger made one beeline across that auditorium and ran up and grabbed me. And when he grabbed me, I mean, with that thick tongue, he said, Jesus, my Savior, I accepted him. Oh, what a picture. Oh, listen, if Roger could get saved, you can get saved too. Roger was baptized as a member of that church. I was anxious to get back to that church with another meeting because I wanted to see Roger. Roger lives in a home operated by the county for the mentally retarded. You know what he's doing? He's going room to room and saying, you need to be saved, and presenting Jesus. And someday, Roger will not just be rich in salvation, he will be rich in service because of surrender to the Lord. Now, how about you tonight? Are you like this man? All you think about is things? Is you like that? If that's so, God is looking down from heaven tonight and saying unto you, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. This night. And if death were to knock at your door, would you be rich in salvation? Would you be rich in service? I think of an usher in my home church. Every morning, every service would come forward to take the offering. And one Sunday morning, his dear wife was playing the organ. He came forward and took the offering. They took it back and put it in the pastor's office where the usher put it. Came back in to sit down in the pew in the back. And as he sat down, had a heart attack in the morning service. Can you imagine, preacher, what that'll do to a morning service? Called the ambulance. Called the ambulance. And carried him out. His dear wife playing the organ. Oh, bless God. Sometime later, Mrs. James got her property all in order and so on because they owned some property. And the pastor went to see her. And I've gone to see her several times. And said, Pastor, I got something I want to show you. I got something I want to give you. She went back in the room and got her Bible. Said, Pastor, I want to give you my Bible. I don't have any need for it anymore. I want you to take my Bible. And he said, No, I'm not going to take your Bible. She said, You don't understand. I don't need my Bible anymore. So he took the Bible of dear Mrs. James, took it back to the office, laid it on the desk, and then got the call. The night had come. She went home to be with the Lord. How about you tonight? Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around, nobody moving around. Take a good look inside. Are you wise tonight? Are you wise tonight, wise enough to make sure you're saved? Are you wise enough tonight to make sure you're living for the Lord and serving Him? And as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, how many of you wonderful folk, you say, yes, I know for sure I'm saved. I've been born again by the Spirit of God. And I know that if death would knock at my door, I know if that night were to come, I'd be in heaven. And as a testimony, you slip your hand up right now. Just raise your hands. God bless you. God bless you. That's wonderful. Put your hands down. Is there someone here tonight? You didn't raise your hand. Maybe you didn't want to. Or maybe deep in your heart, you say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure if that night were to come that I'd be in heaven. Would you pray for me? And his heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You slip your hand up as a boy, girl, teenager, adult. I'm not sure I'm saved. Slip your hand up right now. I see that hand. You can put it back down. I see that hand. Put it back down. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure if my night were to come, I'd be in heaven. Maybe the last invitation you're ever involved in. That's why God says, come now. You'll slip your hand up. Someone else? As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, is there a Christian here? You say, Preacher, I know I'm saved. But if death were to knock at my door, I would not be rich in service. I would not be rich in service. I've not been obedient to the Lord in baptism and church membership. I've not been faithful to Him. God has spoken to you as a dad tonight. You've not taken the time to read the Bible and pray with your dear wife and with your family. And God spoke to you tonight. You'll slip your hand up, indicate, pray for me. Pray for me. I see those hands. I see them. God bless you. God bless you. If you don't have a husband, then as a wife and mother, you can need to put the Lord first. Say, yes, tonight, I want to be rich in salvation, but I want to be rich in service as well. And someone else slip their hand up tonight. Anyone else? I see those hands. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. Lord, as we sing an invitation song, help individuals to slip out of that pew and come. Help those that are not sure they're saved tonight to come. And the person next to them needs to come with them. Help dads to come tonight and stand all across this altar and say that they've not put you first in their life. They've not had a family altar with their family. They've not had a time of prayer with their family. Help them to come tonight and stand at this altar and say, Lord, I'm going to put you first. Give them the courage Give them the courage tonight to take that step. Whatever decision needs to be made, Lord, help them to make that decision tonight. And we'll praise you and love you. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.